evening, everyone. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we shall be glad and rejoice in it. We thank you so much for life, health, and strength. We thank you for allowing this Lady Prayer Warrior group to put on such a great event, the revival, summer revival, stepping out of the hurricane. Father God, we ask that you forgive us for our sins. We know sometimes we fall short and we don't represent you the way we should. And Lord, we're just asking that you help us and guide us and just throw those sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within us. Father God, we're just asking that you bless each and every person on this program. Everything that we be done will be decent in order. Give us the strength. Give us the zeal. Give us the wisdom. Give us the know-how. And we ask that you be with our speaker, Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins. Father, we know that many things are plaguing each and every one of us at this time. But we're asking for your courage that you imparted in her. We're asking that she remember the things in which she has studied, that it will be able to be spoken tonight here so that we all may take these things and apply it to our lives. We're asking special prayers for her family, prayers for her children, her husband, and all of those who are close to her, Father God. We're just asking that you give her what she needs and the strength and the desire to continue to bring these great lessons to our Friday night Bible series as well as this week to our summer revival. Father God, we're asking that you bless our administrators, bless our leadership as a whole, that we continue putting you first throughout all things. Father God, we're asking that you continue to guide us as a group, the Lady Prayer Warrior team, and everybody. Bless our visitors that are on the line tonight, that they may see some things and hear some things on tonight that would encourage them to become Lady Prayer Warriors. And if those among us who are not Christians, we're asking that this lesson will have them thinking that age-old question, what must I do to be saved? Father God, we're just so thankful that you've given us these opportunities to take advantage of just being able to study your word throughout this entire week. Bless each speaker who will be coming this week. Bless each program participant who will be participating this week. Father, we have a lot to be thankful for, and what better way to be thankful than to be in, to be revived on our summer revival. Help us all step out of the hurricane and glorify your name. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. We're asking a special blessing among the sick, the shut-in, those who are going through financial troubles, especially those of us who are going through these pandemic second strands and all these different things with this COVID virus. Just help us, Lord. We know that you have all power in your righteous right hand, and we trust you to bring us through. We know if you bring us to it, you'll bring us through it. Father, continue to keep each and every one of us like you always have. If you never do anything else, you've done enough. Bless those who are bereaved among us, all the bereaved families. Father, you know specifically what to do. We thank you. We love you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Sharaka, for that beautiful, beautiful opening prayer. Now at this time, we're going to have our dear sister, Jan Guzzi, give us a word. Sister Jan?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening. Scripture for tonight would be from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 20. And I'm reading from the King James Version. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall be observed to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiment waxed not old unto thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasten his son, so the Lord thy God chasten thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that springs out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and big trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statute, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee from water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. But it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all, excuse me, let me read this over. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nation which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. This has been the reading of God's word. May God bless the hearers and doers of his word. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear Sister Jan, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Now we're going to have a song praise by our lovely sister, Rosalind Boddy.
Good evening, sisters. Starting all over again, it's gonna be rough and tough, so rough, but we're gonna make it. Starting all over again, it's gonna be rough and tough, so rough and tough, we're gonna make it. I know in my life I've done wrong ever since I stayed away from home, but Jesus gave me another chance. So now I can tell the world that I've been born again. That's why I'm starting all over again. It's gonna be rough and tough, so rough and tough, but we're gonna make it. Starting all over again, it's gonna be hard, but I pray to the Lord to help us to make it. I used to stay out late at night, but I found it wasn't right. So I made up my mind, gave Jesus my heart. Now I know he's my all in all. That's why I'm starting all over again. It's gonna be rough and tough. So rough, but we're gonna make it. Starting all over again, it's gonna be hard, but I pray to the Lord to help us to make it. One more thing, Satan on my track, trying to turn me back. I got my hand in Jesus' hand, and I'm headed for the promised land. I don't care what my friends may say. I'm going to serve the Lord anyway. I'm going to serve him anyway. Starting all over again, it's going to be rough and tough. So rough and tough that we're gonna make it. Starting all over again, it's gonna be hard, but I pray to the Lord to help us make it.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Roslyn, what a beautiful song. Starting all over again, it's going to be rough and tough, but we're going to make it. Thank you so much, Sister Roslyn. That was a beautiful song. Thank you for allowing God to use your voice on tonight to sing praises unto him. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Now, at this time, we're going to have the introduction of our speaker done by Sister Vivian Mills.
Good evening, sisters, and thank you, Sister Katrina, for hosting. It is my pleasure and honor to introduce our speaker for tonight. Our speaker for tonight is Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins. She is one of our administrators for Lady Prayer Warriors BOC. Sister Dorothy is no stranger to speaking on our program. She has spoken on several topics on many Friday nights, and she has spoken before on our revival meeting. Sister Jenkins is a retired educator. She taught in Georgia public school for 33 years. She is a dedicated member of the Renaissance Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, where she serves on the Guardian Ministry, working with new converts. Sister Dorothy is a singer. She sings with the Golden Voices of Renaissance and has been with the chorus for more than 35 years. Sister Dorothy is married to Brother John Jenkins for 49 years. She has two adult children, a daughter, Callie, and a son, Calvin. She has two grandchildren, grandson Amir, 17, and granddaughter Ryan, 10. Sister Jenkins' favorite scripture is Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I introduce the song and present to others our speaker for tonight, our dear sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins. Thank you.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be kindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Good evening, sisters. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am so delighted to have this opportunity once again to present a lesson from God's holy and divine word. I'm appreciative to our administration for giving me the opportunity to kick off our August Summer Revival Bible Series, in which we have entitled Stepping Out of the Hurricane. I would be remiss if I didn't say thanks to all of my sisters of the administration team for their participation on tonight. Our most gracious host, Administrator Sister Katrina Stafford, Administrator Sister Sharaka Melton, for boldly taking us to God's throne of grace in our opening prayer, Administrator Sister Jan Goosby for our scripture reading of God's holy and divine word, Administrator Sister Roslyn T. Body for that beautiful song praise, Administrator Sister Vivine Mills for that wonderful, wonderful introduction, and we want to thank Administrator Sister Natissa Thompson in advance, who will take us back to God's mighty throne of grace to give thanks and to do our closing prayer. Sisters, if you have your copy of God's word, I want to invite you to please come with me to our scriptural text found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 20. I will be reading from the English Standard Version to lay the foundation for our lesson. Again, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 20. And the scripture reads, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God discipline you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, then when your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble and test you to do you the good in the end. Beware unless you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have got me my wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Thus goes the reading of God's holy and divine word. Stepping out of the hurricane. Stepping out of the hurricane. Sisters, what an intriguing theme for the month of August 2021 as we kick off our summer revival. Stepping out of the hurricane suggests a coming out from a survival of some treacherous conditions or hazardous situations because of the many unknown or unpredictable danger that lies within. To address our theme, I would like to speak to you on the topic, Stepping Out of the Hurricane, Starting All Over Again. Stepping Out of the Hurricane, Starting All Over Again. My subtopic, Starting All Over Again, was motivated by my remembrance of a well-known gospel group, the Swanee Quintet of Augusta, Georgia. Mr. Johnny Jones, one of the former lead singers, was being reunited with his beloved group somewhere around the year of 1977. At this particular time, on this very special occasion, he was not only being reunited with the Swanee Quintet, but he was being reintroduced to the singing gospel audience. The announcer said, "Johnny, we're so glad to have you back with the Swanee Quintet again. What I want you to do is to get around the microphone and tell everybody in the whole wide world how you feel about it." And this was his message to the world. Johnny says, "I'm starting all over again. It's going to be rough and tough, so rough and tough, we're going to make it. I'm starting all over again. It's going to be rough and tough, so rough and tough, we're going to make it. In my life, I know I've done wrong ever since I stayed away from home. Jesus gave me another chance, so now I can tell the world that I've been born again. That's why I'm starting all over again. It's going to be rough and tough, so rough and tough, we're going to make it. I'm starting all over again. It's going to be hard, so hard, but I pray to the Lord, help us to make it. One more thing, I used to stay out late at night, but I found out it wasn't right. So I made up my mind, gave Jesus my heart, now that I know that he's my all and all. That's why I'm starting all over again. It's going to be rough and tough, so rough and tough, we're going to make it. I'm starting all over again. It's going to be hard, but I pray to the Lord to help us make it. One more thing. Satan's on my track, trying to turn me back. I got my hand in Jesus' hand, and I'm headed for the promised land. One more thing. I don't care what my friends may say. I'm going to always in my life serve the Lord. Going to serve him in a way that starting all over again, it's going to be rough and tough. So rough and tough, we're going to make it. I'm starting all over again. It's going to be hard, so hard, but I pray to the Lord, help us to make it." Sisters, one of the biggest hindrances to stepping out of the hurricane, starting all over again, is our own personal roadblocks. We're often unprepared or inexperienced and uncertain. Our stepping out, while uncertain, can be entrusted to God, and he will help us to step out. When we step out of the hurricane, I want you to know three things happen. Number one, God is glorified. Number two, others are electrified. And number three, we are qualified. In this lesson, our main goal is to prepare and to equip us when life gets rough and tough. When the strong winds begin spiraling us inward and upward, rotating us at such great speeds. Sisters, this is the time that we need to trust God. If we don't know God, I want to suggest on tonight that we get to know him better, because God alone is our main source of strength. He is our provision, protection, and direction. The hurricane seasons are inevitable, but be assured, sisters, that the hurricane will find us. On tonight, as I take this assignment, I boldly declare that there is no promise of a hurricane-free life, but we are promised God's presence in every hurricane. In our lesson, we want to explore various ways, strategies, and practices to help us where we in our own personal ongoing hurricane seasons in life. In this lesson, we will observe, number one, the approaching of the hurricane, some survival tips. Number two, our attitude in the presence of the hurricane will define our level of success in stepping out. Number three, how to step out of the hurricane. Number four, the lesson learned after the hurricane. And number five, stepping out of the hurricane, starting all over again. Someone may be asking, why do we have hurricanes in our lives? The answer to this question lies within God's purposes for allowing us to go through the difficult time. God helps us to learn and to grow the disciplines he carried out in our lives. Sisters, it is through and by the hurricane we grow through adversities in life. Now let's look closely at our scriptural text, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, 1 through 20. But before we delve into it, I want to bring us up to date with the events that have taken place and transpired before we get to chapter 8. The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy opens with a brief synopsis of events during and leading up to the end of the Israelites' 40-year stint in the wilderness as an introduction of the covenant that is about to be discussed. The preceding chapters highlight obedience to God's law, or the lack thereof, as the source of all the Hebrew people's triumph and the woes they were made to suffer. In this lesson, we want to look comparatively back at the children of Israel to see that they had their own physical and spiritual hurricane that caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years. Sisters, on tonight, we will journey back through the pages of inspiration and observe that the children of Israel were getting ready to exit. They were getting ready to leave and or to step out of Egyptian bondage. Moses is on the scene to remind his people of the rewards of fidelity to God, as well as the inherent dangers of displeasing the Almighty. We see that Moses urges them to weigh those consequences. In other words, Moses tells them, you all know what the wilderness experience is like and what you had to go through with. So think about it, because the consequence of disobedience is a big price to pay. By the time we get to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, we're going to see Israel's physical and spiritual wilderness being affected by their own obedience or disobedience. Their remaining in the wilderness is being impacted by their own unwillingness to listen to Moses and to trust God, who continues to show them time after time he will be there to take care of them. Hurricanes, or the like thereof, are represented or presented throughout the Bible by different descriptive names or expressions, such as trials and tribulations, problems and pressures, a great storm of the sea, hail and fire flashing, a great noise, a fierce gale of wind, rainstorm, storm wind and tempest, and whirlwind, only to name a few. Sisters, no matter by what name our hurricane is called, we can be assured that God can and will rebuke the hurricane in our lives. Paul says it best in Romans 8, 28 through 30, that the difficulties in life work together for our own good. James reiterates the very same message in James 1, 2 through 4, by letting us know that difficulties in life takes on a new meaning because, number one, God is working to accomplish his will in our lives. Number two, the difficulties shape us so we reflect the character of Christ. And number three, difficulties get our attention and force us to face problems and pressures that are too big for us to resolve. Stepping out of the hurricane, starting all over again. Stepping out of the hurricane, starting all over again. Sisters, sound good. Wouldn't we all agree? But how often do we fail to do so because we don't plan for the change? For our consideration on tonight, I would like to introduce five main focal points of interest from which we will hinge our lesson as we explore our text, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, 1 through 20. Now let's begin. Our first focal point of interest, the approaching of the hurricane. Sisters, when a physical hurricane is approaching, we are told to stay inside and go to a safe place within the house, never to go outside, the protection of our home or shelter. When we are about to encounter a spiritual hurricane, we are to seek refuge under the mighty hand of God. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will not fear though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. Sisters, the hurricane is coming, and for some of us, it is already upon us. Many Christians who struggle with hurricane survival have heart issues driving them. The what and the how we perceive the hurricane is keeping us from stepping out to survive. Let's begin with at least two helpful survival tips that will be assured to help us. The first helpful tip is, number one, we must remain emotionally stable, able to withstand difficult situations. But how do we handle adversity and remain productive and capable throughout? In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 23, the Bible says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of life. In this verse, the wise man Solomon, in all of his wisdom, gives us one of the most important aspects of the Christian life. The status of our heart affects who we are, how we feel, and what we do, and how we live. Solomon's description of God in our heart differs greatly from the way we often view God in our heart. God in our heart, from a scriptural perspective, means for us to be alert through the power of Christ within us. So what enters and dwells in our heart? We need to be aware of what we say and do, because over time, our thoughts and actions shape the status of our heart. Biblically, God in our heart is founded in consistent prayer and communication with our Lord for direction and conviction. To remain emotionally stable, we must seek healthy meditation exercises through prayer. Sisters, one of the most courageous things we can do in life is look within, discipline our mind, and strengthen our connection with the Lord so that we can serve him and others. And the second tip, number two, we must maintain peace by studying God's word. God in our heart with scripture helps keep our faith on track, but the walls we often erect keep others out, as well as they keep God's word from penetrating our heart. We may feel they protect our emotions, but oftentimes they keep us bound in insecurity, fear, unhappiness, and loneliness. Only God can protect our heart from pain, and he did not create us to live in the hurricane. Instead, he wants us to live free, full of joy, and with peace in our heart. Sisters, it is our choice to step out of the hurricane we find ourselves in and remember all the gifts and the promises available through God. No matter what we've been through or what lies ahead, we must move forward, forgetting those things in the hurricane, In verse 1 of our text, we see that God wanted the children of Israel to be emotionally stable, maintain their peace, move forward, and to not look back. God had prepared and provided Israel with all that they needed to step out of their physical and spiritual bondage of slavery and possess the land he had promised to them. Verse number 1, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Our second focal point of interest deals with our attitude in the presence of the hurricane. Sisters, our attitude will define our level of success. Number 1, it will expose and reveal our weaknesses in the hurricane. Number 2, it will determine how we interpret troubles in the past, as well as strategies and tactics we'll pursue when stepping out. And number 3, it will define and delimit our level of success to decide what those obstacles mean and how we will deal with them. Sisters, let's examine how our attitude will define our levels of success when stepping out of the hurricane. First, our attitude will determine how we interpret troubles in our past, as well as the strategies and the tactics we'll pursue when stepping out of the hurricane. Secondly, our attitude will also define and delimit our level of success when stepping out. And thirdly, our attitude will determine what those obstacles mean, and therefore how well we will deal with them, such as cleaning up all the debris from the hurricane, interacting with positive environment with positive or like-minded people, embracing negativity with solutions, letting it go and trying, and not giving up. Sisters, it is so easy to see how the hurricane exposes our weaknesses, but perhaps we ought to think about it differently. The hurricane can also reveal our strength. If we accept the emotions that arise, then we can work through them more effectively. Stepping out can be a scary thing with so many uncertainties, but when we have faith in Christ, we have hope, not only in this life, but in the next. Verse 6, so you shall keep the commandments of your Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. Verse 7. In other words, God says to Israel, I got your back. You just go in and possess the land. Question, did they believe God at his word, or did they trust their own thoughts? Our third focal point of interest, how to step out of the hurricane. There are on the market all kinds of how-to books and manuals. Anything we want to do to be better, we can find so much help out there just waiting. Our text on tonight provides us with some powerful information on how to step out of the hurricane. Let's observe 3 things Moses did in our text. The very first thing Moses did was to tell the Israelites to, number 1, remember the wilderness. Moses doesn't want Israel to forget God and be proud of their own attainment once they get to the promised land. In verse 1, he reminds them of how they had learned humility, how God had proved their faithfulness, and how God had revealed what was the reality of their heart. Verse 2, it was so easy for Israel to start thinking that life is based on material things, but things never satisfied them. The more Israel was given, the more she wanted. They failed to realize that real life comes from total commitment to God, discipline, and hard work. Moses was there as their leader, and he witnessed firsthand Israel being in a situation in the wilderness where they had to completely depend on the Lord for their food and water. verse 3 and 6. Now they were going into a land that had an abundance of water and agricultural products. In verse 7 and 8, Moses warned them prosperity may cause them to stop depending on God. Secondly, Moses told the Israelites to remember the Lord your God. Sisters, this is very important because when we have gone through some things in life, we must be careful to remember who brought us out. Moses spells out the dangers of forgetting that God is the source of every blessing that we enjoy. Verse 11, these Jews had been slaves in Egypt, having nothing, and soon they would be living in nice houses, taking care of their large flocks, and accumulating silver and gold. Verse 12 and 13, this kind of success has a way of making them proud, and we soon forget, too, that God and what we have been through, God has called us from it. In our text, we see that God reminds Israel of where they had come from, what he had brought them through, and what he had done for them. In verse 15 and 16, we read how God provided protection for the Israelites. Verse 2 and 3, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble and test you to do your good in the end. Next, Moses reminds them of God's provision. Beware unless you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have got me my wealth, verse 17, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day, verse 18. Sisters, God will not let us steal his glory. He wants us to give him glory for all that he does for us, verse 19 and 20. So, sisters, we see that we must remember the Lord our God because, number one, only those who heed Jesus' word or apply them will be able to step out of the hurricane. Number two, we must keep our focus. We must take our eyes off of our circumstances and feelings and fix our eyes on Jesus. Number three, we must put into practice what we have learned in the hurricane. And number four, we must learn to experience a new set of priorities from the hurricane and be able to help others do the same. Sisters, but how do we go about following the previous steps given? Journey with me and let's observe how God humbled and tested Israel. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. First, we see God builds humility in Israel during their wilderness wandering so they can appreciate where they have been. Verse 1, every commandment that I command you today, you must be careful to observe. God called Israel to a complete obedience. This obedience was to be based on remembering what the Lord had done among them in the wilderness. Sisters, obedience leads to personal growth. Obedience demonstrates our faith and trust in God. Obedience is the key to our success, and obedience is the sure and promised way of unlocking the blessings of strength, knowledge, joy, and peace. Secondly, we see God humbles Israel so they can reevaluate what they consider a blessing in life. He brought them to a place where all they could do was depend on him. They had nothing else and no one else to count on. The one difference between the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament is that God promised Israel temporal blessing. He promised us spiritual blessing, verse 9 and 11. Thirdly, we see God helps Israel to release their need to know how things will work out. God tested Israel. It was not because he didn't know their heart, but because Israel didn't know their own heart. Sisters, like Israel, we must be constantly corrected. And fourthly, we see God want Israel to believe that better things are on the other side of the wilderness. Sisters, when physical hurricanes have passed, we can put our lives and houses back in order. Likewise, when we have gone through spiritual hurricanes of our life, God would help us to put our spiritual lives and spiritual houses back in order. We cannot do it by ourselves. Our fourth and final focal point of interest, spiritual lessons we learn, and the key is the key to stepping out of the hurricane. Let's explore six spiritual lessons we learn after we step out of the hurricane. Number one, real gratitude. Number two, real joy. Number three, real peace. Number four, real treasure. Number five, real strength and real faithfulness. Number six, sisters, Jesus is observing our hurricane, those who are going through the hurricane, those who are in the hurricane, and those who make it out. We must learn to experience a new set of priorities from the hurricane and be able to help others to do the same. What are some spiritual lessons we may learn from our spiritual hurricane? Spiritual lessons we learn is the key to stepping out of the hurricane. Sisters, the hurricane is vital for God. God uses the hurricane not only to reveal himself, but to shape us to become more like Christ. It's not just that the hurricane teaches, but that there are lessons we can benefit and learn from in the hurricane. The hurricane can teach us real gratitude, number one. It is easy to be grateful when things in life are going well, when our bank account is full, spouse and children are behaving. But even in difficulty, we can't find things to be, even in difficulty, we can find things to be grateful for. We should stop to look for God's hand and keep a daily list to help us to see God all around us, even when circumstances are hard. Paul, while in prison, wrote that he learned the secret of being content and in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Number two, the hurricane can teach us real joy. Paul taught another truth in prison, to rejoice in all things. The hurricane shows us that real joy comes in the heart, not after. Number three, the hurricane can teach us real peace. Sisters, peace is not the absence of difficulty. It's the presence of God. Real peace is what Paul found in prison. He writes saying, "And the peace of God transcends all the understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Number four, the hurricane can teach us real treasure. The world tells us we need bigger, newer, and more. We can all think of a list of things we thought we needed, but when the hurricane hits, we quickly feel the need to evacuate. None of what we had on our list really will matter. While in the hurricane, our lives are often shattered. We quickly develop a keen sense of what in life is really valuable, and this realization, sister, becomes crystal clear. Again from prison, Paul affirmed that he considered everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, who for whose sake I have lost all things. The hurricane can teach us, number five, real strength. Sisters, we can usually handle the mild annoyances and problems that surface on easy days. But hurricanes, trials bring us to the end of ourselves. In those times, we realize we're completely dependent on God. We need him to give us wisdom, to replace fear with faith, and to give us strength to battle the hurricane. God designed us to be utterly dependent on him. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And number six, the hurricane can teach us real faithfulness. Sisters, it is so easy to quote the promises of God when life is good, but do they hold up in the heart? Hurricanes prove they do. We can see God's faithfulness in ways we never see on sunny days. That's when we can seal our own faith, when it comes deeply personal, because we see firsthand how God meets our needs and take care of us in the hurricane. Sisters, in the hurricane, we see God do things we could even ask or imagine. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demand of his covenant. Stepping out of the hurricane, starting all over again. Our fifth and final focal point of interest, stepping out of a hurricane to start all over again. Sisters, physical hurricanes are characterized by their most destructive forces, strong winds, including tornadoes, high storm surge and washovers, large waves and associated rain causing flooding. When physical hurricanes have passed, we can put our lives and houses back in order. A spiritual hurricane has some of the same characteristics, but one may have to weather it much longer because it won't be over until God says that it is. During this time, we must keep our three P's in the right perspective. Number one, praising God. Number two, praying to God. And number three, persevering, waiting on God. Our first P is praising. What will praising God do to help us step out of the hurricane? Most of us need more than a you should praise God because scripture says so. We need to make such effort to turn our hearts to praise when our hearts are full of grief, despair, worry, and fear. Beyond the should do, praise is one of our greatest gifts to God and one of our greatest weapons against the hurricane. Sisters, when the hurricane of this life leaves us worn out and weary, singing God's praises will fill our heart with joy. Our second P is praying to God. Praying helps us to step out of the hurricane and start all over again. Praying holds the ability to soothe our soul, to refresh our spirit, and cause hope to rise above the pain we might be feeling. And though our circumstances may not be immediately changed, though our hearts may still be hurting, God reminds us through his word to set our eyes on him. Our third P is persevering, waiting out the hurricane, waiting on God. In a sense, we persevere during the hurricane. We learn how to respect the hurricane and do what is necessary to withstand and to survive the hurricane. When we learn how to persevere through the hurricane, we are able to step out of the hurricane and start all over again. In my conclusion, to successfully step out of the hurricane, to start all over again, we, like the children of Israel, number one, we must remember the hurricane. Number two, we must remember that it is God who helps us to be able to step out of the hurricane. And number three, we must take the advantage of exercising the spiritual lessons we've learned. The songwriter says, I'm starting all over again. It's going to be rough and tough. So rough and tough, we're going to make it. I'm starting all over again. It's going to be hard, but I pray to the Lord to help us make it. Stepping out of the hurricane, starting all over again. Thank you, sisters.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Dorothy, for that power-packed lesson. And now at this time, we're going to have our closing prayer by our dear sister, Natissa Thompson.
Can you hear me? Hold on a little bit. Can you hear me now? Hello?
We hear you. I'm sorry, I was on mute. We hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, let us go to our Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just thanking you, dear Lord. We thank you for just allowing us to be on tonight, a part of this revival. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your love. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all together, dear Lord, to hear another word, dear Lord, brought by our sister Dorothy tonight. We thank you, Father, for just blessing her and using her as a vessel. I humbly ask forgiveness of my sins. Prayer will not be hindered, dear Lord, and I thank you for the message tonight on stepping out of the hurricane, starting over again, dear Lord. And we know that we can't do it on our own. Help us, Father, to depend on you help us to take this message that was given and remember and learn, continue to learn the things that you would have us to do to make it out of the hurricane and continue to strive on this Christian journey. We know, dear Lord, that we're going to go through trials, tribulations, different types of hurricanes in our lives, but we know we have the tools to make it through it and to continue on. Help us, Father, to remember those things that you have said in your word as you brought the Israelites, dear Lord, through the wilderness, and you helped them, Father, in the times when they doubted and when they fell. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to be obedient to your will and your way, and we pray that you will give us strength, dear Lord, as we continue to strive to do your will, continue to stay on the journey, dear Lord, that you brought us this far and to this day. We ask that you continue to be with us all as we go through the furtherance of this night. Be with all of us as we go through this week, dear Lord, as we hear another lesson taught by our admin. And we thank you for just allowing us to be your vessels, allowing us to continue to share your word and grow as well ourselves by studying your word. We pray, we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Natissa, for that beautiful closing prayer.